On your journey through life, you are the hero. There are times, however, when it is beneficial to have an advisor to guide you along your path. Welcome to the Smart Money Simplified Podcast with Brent Mikosh, certified financial planner, certified investment management analyst, and co-founder of MP Advisors LLC. In this podcast, we provide you with financial clarity so that you have the tools to live your best life. Listen in as Brent guides you through creative solutions to various financial problems that business professionals, young adults, and retirees commonly face to make their money work. Now, on to the show.
Hello, and welcome to Smart Money Simplified with Brent Mikosh. Brent, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Eric?
I am doing fantastic. That's kind of my phrase. I'm doing fantastic. I love getting together with you. I know that I'm going to learn more about you and your, and we've, this is podcast number three, by the way, if you're listening and you haven't subscribed yet, go back and take a look. The first two podcasts are very eye-opening as far as Brent and his team and what they do. This podcast specifically is going to be what happens when you become a client. So the last podcast was what happens when you call in and just have questions. And we went through a lot of information on that one. So go back and listen to that. But this one is, hey, you've decided you're going to become a client and you like Brent and his team. And Brent says, hey, it's a good fit. Let's move forward. We're going to kind of take it from there. So where do we start with this? Somebody's decided and you've sat down with them. You've talked about goals and aspirations and dreams and gone over their documentation that we talked about on the last podcast. But what does that look like when we say, yes, I'm signing on the dotted line?
Well, that dotted line might be paper. It's increasingly and usually now electronic. Yeah. So fortunately, I'd say 95% of our documents now are electronic, if not 98%. I mean, it's a very high number of documents that just come into your phone and you can sign the documents that way. But sometimes there's still some things that we need actual in-person signatures for, and we'll either deal with that in person or mail those documents out to people. But that's when really, you know, the first 45 days or so is when this whole machine now gets running and gets into place. And that does, I mean, come on, this is financial services. This is a business that is dominated by a lot of compliance. I joke with my clients that we are a business that kills so many trees you can't possibly imagine. Less so now, because a lot of it more is electronic. But in the past, we used to have stacks and stacks and stacks of this paperwork that we would have to get in place and get moving. And that could be, you know, initially they could be new account forms, fee agreements, account transfer forms from wherever that money is currently housed. And then depending on what is actually in these accounts and what we're going to be doing moving forward, there can be additional paperwork from there. And again, most of it now is electronic, but not all of it is. And that process can be a little bit overwhelming. And so it's very important to me and everyone on my team that everyone's very comfortable with what it is they're signing and what this document does and what you know, what the repercussions are of signing this document. Not necessarily repercussions, but what is it putting in place? Mm-hmm. And that's really where Andy is the man. Andy handles all the paperwork, handles all the operational activities that we have here in the office, and he's so diligent and phenomenal with that, because he knows exactly what needs to be signed by who, when it needs to get submitted, to make sure that everything runs flawlessly. And so there's going to be some conversations with myself, of course, but also with Andy, getting all of this in place. And at that point, after that, is when now the client's going to be getting paperwork. And we can talk about ways that some of that paperwork can be mitigated. Should we dive into that one next?
Yeah, let's do it.
So when someone signs on with us, obviously the accounts are created here, but they also have the ability, they can choose how much of this information they want mailed and hard copy of them versus electronically. And clients are increasingly choosing electronic delivery of these documents. And we have to walk them through that. That's something that once they get on to Raymond James, they get on to Investor Access and they fill their profiles out. They can determine how much of the stuff they actually want to get in the mail. And we still have some clients that keep the three-ring binders, and this paperwork comes in and they want to go through it line by line and review it. And we have other people that it goes, you know, right to the junk box in their email box. And it really depends, again, on what the client wants. But there's a lot of information that's generated. Usually that information also generates questions. And so that's where Andy, from an operational standpoint, is there to answer what those questions are. Kayla and myself also answering additional questions about specific investments that we may be transferring over and new investments that we may be making. And of course, Taylor is always is that friendly voice when you're calling to ask any of us these questions about what's going on. But we want to be really proactive, and we let clients know when the assets have arrived, what if they have not yet, what we expect to see happening, where everything is on that paperwork. And then then also making sure that they're set up for the mobile app, for electronic delivery of the documents, if that's what they want, set up to get online. We also have aggregation software. And what I mean by that is once they've established their client profile with us, once the accounts are open, they can, if they've got an existing 401k, for example, at their employer, or they've got anything basically that's financial that has an internet login, we can aggregate that onto the client-facing portal that when they log in to see their Raymond James accounts that they see every day. And so even if the assets aren't at Raymond James, you know, not all that money's here. You know, they could have a big 401k. They could have money in a few other different places. That way they can see it in one place. Because again, the goal is to make all this simple. The goal is to pull all this information in front of you in a really clear fashion so that you know where you are and you can make decisions around that. So that the beginning is getting all of that stuff in place.
Okay.
I know I went on a ramble there for a while, Eric, but anything in terms of what I said that you think some of the listeners might want some more clarity on?
No, I mean, I think that's great. I think we could probably do an entire podcast on what that wealth management software looks like and how to use it and all that. And I don't think we necessarily need to spend the time doing that. Just knowing that that's available is fantastic. And you'll hear this theme throughout our work together and our time together. My wife would love that. Now me, I'm glad my wife would love that because that wouldn't be me. I wouldn't need to be checking it and I wouldn't be paying that much attention to it. But that's definitely her arena and she loves that. So I think that's a lot of relationships out there, right? That somebody is going to be the one that really is engaged. So I guess my question to you is we didn't cover this in the last one. When you're working with a husband and wife or spouses, how do you help engage both of them so they both have kind of equal time to talk about their dreams and goals? And when you're meeting and doing, you know, the progress meetings that you do, which we'll talk about in a little bit, how do you get both of them engaged so that their voices are heard?
You've got to ask the question, and it seems basic, you know, basically intuitive. But if I'm sitting down with someone that's either an existing client right now, a husband and wife, a couple, and only one person is doing all the talking, I really consciously try to engage the other spouse or the other party in that room. Because a lot of times you can tell things. It's why, you know, Zoom is great and the electronic stuff, everything we've been doing, because I am a tech guy, I enjoy the technology. But the electronic stuff we've been doing the last year and a half is great. Thank God we have it. But there's nothing that beats sitting across the table from somebody, because you can read so much from a body language perspective in terms of where they're at, where, you know, things that you might see a little wince when certain things comes up from one of the spouses or another person in the room. And, you know, I tell me what you're feeling right now. But it's a really conscious effort that I make to engage, if it's a couple in my office, to engage them both 50-50, because I'm missing half of the equation if I don't do that.
Yeah.
So that's true. But there usually is, in terms of the mechanics of this whole thing, and we put all this stuff in place and get this machine going, as I like to say, like with my team here, there's usually one spouse or partner that's going to want to dive in and take the lead on gathering all that. There's always one person that likes this. And in my family, three guesses, it's me. I'm the one that I know where all the data is. I know where everything is at. My wife doesn't want anything to do with any of this stuff.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases, it's the opposite. In a lot of cases, it might be the wife, it might be the husband, it might be one person or another that's really, really focused on doing this. But there's always one. But I want both people to really know what's going on. And even just from a personal standpoint, I mean, I do regular check-ins with my wife, because she doesn't think about the money stuff like I do. Mm-hmm. And so usually about once a month or so, I'm like, all right, you know, let's take a look at our own stuff here, just so you know where we're at. Because if we didn't do that, she wouldn't really be that interested in it. But I really very intentionally try to engage anyone involved in this client relationship.
Yeah, it's. I find it humorous that you use the word winced, right? You know, if somebody winces when something said, like when I bring up the fact that I want a boat, that makes my wife wince. She's like, oh,
yes.
You know? So I get
it. You can see it.
It's a physical reaction.
It's amazing. Yeah, so my wife will do it too. I've got a couple, you know, big financial goals that I have, or things that I would like to spend our money on. And when I say it to people or friends, and she'll be like, you know, she shakes her head or she rolls her eyes. And, you know? And you can read so much in that. Yeah. She doesn't have to even say anything. You can read so much stuff in that body language.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So I know that part of this process is having those regular progress meetings. And you said, I think on the first or second podcast, you said that it depends on what the client wants and needs. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm assuming it would also be based on the complexity of their situation. Maybe they're a small business owner. Maybe they own multiple pieces of property. The more complex you get, maybe I'm assuming the more you're going to need to meet. Is that correct? Or
100%. And one thing, when we're onboarding a client, we always do, there's a 45-day follow-up meeting. And that's, we take 6 weeks because now they've had time for documents to get delivered. Mm-hmm. They've had time to now have this stack of mail that they're looking at and it's staring back at them and saying, all right, what does all this stuff mean? And we like to take that time after about 6 weeks or so since the accounts have been open, take the time to go over the statement so they know what to look for as this information is coming into them. But to your point, it is true. No, there's no one situation that is identical. And we have some clients where everything's pretty clear. You know, it's a pretty straightforward exercise in terms of aligning these resources toward their value system, what they're trying to do. But some people, it's a lot more complicated. Like you said, there's not a company. There's several companies. There's not a piece of real estate. There's multiple pieces of real estate. There's different LLCs out there. There's different businesses that they're engaged in. And there's a lot more pieces to pull together and try to get all those pieces traveling and moving in the same direction. And so that does take a lot longer and a lot more effort to move that forward. And for clients like that too, that's where, you know, as we continue in this relationship, there's really an advanced planning piece that comes into play that are issues that are outside of the scope of what our normal business is. And our normal business, obviously, we offer some insurance solutions, but really investing financial assets. But when you're talking about property and casualty insurance, you know, when you're talking about some legal issues that really need to be addressed with their estate planning attorney, their business attorney, some asset protection or creditor protection issues that they might be facing, that there's ways that we can get them to the right people that can help with those solutions. That's a lot of those advanced planning pieces, which again are things that outside of the realm of our core business, where we're bringing in many cases outside professionals to help them along the way. That's when a lot of this stuff continues to be uncovered. And then we have a number of people we work closely with across several different fields that we can bring in to make sure that our clients are protected or are getting to where they need to go.
All right, Brent, that sounds fantastic. So now that you've had this 45-day meeting, and I know we've spoken a little bit about the regular progress meetings, I know that can be, depending on the complexity, it can be more often or less often. But what does that look like? If I'm coming into your office and you've got everything worked out with me as far as what my goals and dreams are, and you've got a hold of my finances, we've got this plan in place, what am I looking forward to as far as when we're going to meet?
Yeah, and that regular progress meeting, that's different for most of our clients. And through that discovery process, through the onboarding process, through that 45-day follow-up meeting, at this point, you know, we've gotten a very good idea of what your expectations are. And so for some people, that regular progress meeting is, because it's a question that we ask is, you know, how do you want us to engage with you moving forward? Not just on the day-to-day stuff, because there are a lot of cases where clients are going to get a call from us unexpected, just checking in, just seeing what's new with their lives, how they've been doing. You know, if I haven't spoken with them for you know, a couple weeks or a month or so, then I know that I haven't, and I'm going to give them a call and see what's happening. But that regular progress meeting is when we're really sitting down, we're digging into the finances, we're looking at the accounts, we're doing performance reviews, we're doing, you know, digging down in terms of what they own. Again, reiterating why it is that we own some of these assets, what we hope these assets to do, and also addressing any changes that may have occurred in the financial plan. And again, our financial planning process, obviously the money matters, but it's really goals-based. And people's goals, in many cases, there's some big, giant goals that are static that they know in 5 years we want to buy this second house in a specific location, and we're going to be working toward that over a longer period of time. But it could also be like, you know, hey, wow, this, particularly for some of our clients that are very entrepreneurial, I just had this huge business opportunity that came up. Let's talk about how this would impact if I invested this much money in that, for example. How would this impact our long-term plans, that type of thing. And so we're constantly building out these financial plans, and we're doing that during the regular progress meeting. And what I say to clients too is when we're doing these financial plans, it's very akin, you know, as a pilot, I think I mentioned in the first podcast that I like to fly airplanes. But when you get up and you plug in your destination into the GPS, or if you're just doing it by the old-fashioned steam gauges, you have an idea what heading you want to be on when you take off, but there's winds aloft, there's turbulence, there's other things that are occurring, and you're constantly adjusting, you're constantly changing your track, you're constantly updating how you're flying the airplane to get where you want to go. And that's really what the investment plan does. And so we're constantly tweaking it, constantly making adjustments. And it could be, you know, tweaks in time frame to reach some of these goals. It could also be tweaks in how we want to invest the money today to give us the highest probability that we're going to reach those goals. And so those are all the things that we dive into during the regular progress meeting. But there's a lot of other contact we have with clients besides that.
Well, let's talk about that. What do you mean by other contact? I mean, obviously, the podcast, right? One of the reasons you did the podcast is for educational purposes, but what other client contact and I guess also general public contact do you guys do?
Yeah. And again, you know, that regular progress meeting, sometimes it's quarterly, sometimes it's bi-yearly, sometimes it's yearly, right? Mm-hmm. We've determined that as we've gotten to that. The other forms of contact is myself or a member of the team just calling and checking in on clients, you know, seeing what's going on. And we're really proactive doing that. And what we found is when we do that, we might hear from a client, oh, you know what, I just meant to call you because this and this and this happened. I wanted to talk to you about it. That happens almost every time we pick up the phone and call somebody. Oh, thanks for calling because I was just thinking about yesterday. This thing came up or this happened and I wanted to talk to you about this. And so we try to be very proactive getting on the phone and calling people. I think that the technology, again, is amazing. We text with our clients. We email, obviously, with our clients. We've got a lot of those electronic communications, but nothing's quite like picking up the phone and hearing their voice mm-hmm. and hearing what's going on. The in-person stuff I'd mentioned before, we've been in a slightly different world for the last 18 months. It seems like we're going to getting back to where we were, but I love the in-person stuff. And so with our clients, it could be a lunch, it could be meeting here in the office in person. Sometimes we have a dinner. I've got clients in 26 states, and one of the great joys that I have in life is going out and seeing them. And that was obviously for the last year and a half was grounded, but in the last 3 months I've been to 8 different states. You know, I'm back out on the road again, meeting people in person, and I absolutely love that. I love just that opportunity to spend time with them and connect with them and see what's happened for them in the last year and a half in a face-to-face manner instead of over a Zoom meeting. But again, Zoom, we're heavy users of that as well. And a lot of people now become very accustomed to it. And quite frankly, a lot of people are more comfortable with that now too. So we've adapted to that as well. And then, so that's all the client facing stuff. So I guess the answer to that is we're going to meet them where they want to be met, how they want to be met, when they want to be met, and in the way that's going to make them most comfortable and I guess happiest with the relationship. But you know, I like the in-person stuff. I keep coming back to that. I know I'm repeating myself. But in terms of things for the general public, we started doing a few months back. Obviously, the podcast is a big thing. We're really excited about this because not only are we going to be talking about how we do business with our clients, but I'm really excited about bringing in some of these other topics that I believe our clients and people that just might have an interest in overall that we want to address and dive mm-hmm. into deeper. So the podcast is going to be a big one. The other thing we started doing several months back, and this has been really successful, is what you find is there might be news and things happening in the financial markets that don't even impact our clients' portfolios. Like a great example of this would say be like cryptocurrencies, for example. We don't invest in cryptocurrencies. I can't, from a compliance standpoint, I'm not going to tell a client whether they should invest in cryptocurrencies or not. But I'll have a conversation about what this stuff is and how it's going to impact the economy all day long. And so we get questions like that. Or the GameStop thing. I don't know if you recall the meme stocks that were going in January. You know, Evergrande, the property default in China. There's always a big news story every week. The debt ceiling, Social Security, whatever it is. There's always a big news story almost every week. And usually the phone will ring. And most of the questions we get now, because clients they're really comfortable with our process, they know what we do. It's not, you know, what's happening with this specific investment in my account. It's really like, I was watching the news, I was watching TV the other day, and this came up. What do you think of this? And so we're trying to use a 5 to 6 minute video blog every single week, which is on the website, to address some of those questions. And it might be, you know, hey, I've gotten 3 calls on this week. Let's dive into it and talk about it.
Yeah.
And then what else? Yeah. And so, and I won't then, all of our existing clients, I won't necessarily email that out to them. There might be a few that I know will find it very interesting. I'll ping it out. But our clients now are starting to get the idea that, you know what, there's going to be something new on there every single week. And it's not a canned piece from Raymond, although Raymond James stuff is good. They got some great research, but it's not the canned research piece about saving for retirement that's on our resources blog. It's actually me talking about issues and me talking about things that are happening. As well as that, general public type stuff. We did a big town hall right around the election last year, and that was a blast. We spent about an hour, and we did Q&A over Zoom, talking about what the possible implications were going to be at the tail end of that presidential election. That's mm-hmm. some things those are, you know, type of things that we like to do around big issues and big events. And I hope we get back into the world where we're doing more social stuff again. It seems like we're trending in that direction. So there's a lot of different things, because I know that for me personally. And I don't know how you feel about this, Eric, but I love the idea that different ideas and different content can be put out there, or when I can conveniently get to them, and giving our clients and giving people that we care about the opportunity to reach us in different ways where they can do it on their time. But then also, I also want the old school, old fashioned, in person, us on the phone, us sitting down across the table together, us sitting down over a cup of coffee and talking about things that are important.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's where relationships are built, you know, and the foundations are forged in those situations. Not that they can't be on Zoom, but there's something about breaking bread with somebody, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about.
100%.
One of the things that I like that you said is Raymond James has content, and they put things out there. Raymond James is huge, right? And they have to plan. They have to do a lot of planning when it comes to the content that they're putting out, where you as an advisor, you have flexibility. I love the fact that you can take a current subject that's on people's minds that week and be able to put a little something out there just to at least let your clients and the public know, hey, we're thinking about this too, right? We're right there with you. We're watching it, and this is what we do for a living. So if you've got questions, let us know. So I love that part of it, because larger companies can't do that. They have too much of a machine that they go through to get the content and put it out there, and approvals and all that other stuff, where you have that ability to pivot. And I think that's a very valuable thing for not only all of us, because we get to be a part of it, but your clients specifically, because they know that you're on top of those things.
Exactly. And I think Raymond James, that I can't speak highly enough about the relationship we have with them, but huge company, Fortune 500 company, thousands of people. And so when Raymond James comes out with a piece of research or a piece of news, mm-hmm. that's coming out from Raymond James. It's coming. It's not one man's opinion.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It is the not to dictate, but it is information coming from a giant publicly traded company. And the one thing my compliance department is always quick to tell me, and there's always disclaimers at the end, is everything I say represents the opinion of Brent Mikosh, not, including this podcast, by the way. There's none of this represents the opinion of Raymond James on different topics. But I am entitled to give my opinion on things. And we do with our clients on an ongoing basis, which is why from a planning perspective, a financial planning perspective, bringing us back to this client relationship. I don't sell cars for a living, Eric, but you know how many of my clients call me up and say, you know what, should I buy a car? And that falls purely within the realm of financial planning. It's like, well, yeah, sure you can, but let's just talk about how it's going to impact what you want to do moving forward, or mm-hmm. that vacation house, or investing in that business. And I'm not going to tell a client, yeah, that car is a good or bad investment, but what they care about is how is it going to impact what their goals are? How is it going to impact what they're trying to do in the long term and in the future? And I'm allowed to give that opinion, which is fantastic. You know, Raymond James, as great as they are, and I love their stuff and I love the company, they're not going to say, yes, by the way, you should buy that car. And nor should they. It's not their job. They don't know the client. They don't know the moving parts. They don't know what's happening. I do. I'm in a very privileged position to be able to have these deep and meaningful relationships with people, to know what's going on with them, and sometimes you just need that reassurance. I've had great clients that are huge savers and have accumulated quite a bit of money. And I'm of two schools with this. I think it's great to have these big pools of money. I also believe that the money is there to serve you. It's there to do things that you want to do in your life. And so many clients have called me up and said they've always wanted this second home in this specific area. You know, they've always wanted to take this trip of a lifetime and bring mm-hmm. 15 of their family members. Can I do this? And that's the real fun stuff, is when they know what they want to do, they know what they can do, but they want that reassurance from somebody that's been with them along the way and has been guiding them through that process. And I love those questions, because why else are we doing this?
Yeah,
if we're not doing this to direct these assets to serve our clients and to serve and these assets again to help them move the ball forward toward the main goals and values. I keep coming back to both goals and values, but it's true. Well, what's all this stuff for? You know, it's numbers when you log in and look at your account. It needs a purpose. It needs to be geared towards something, and that can be accumulation, or it can be towards investing in people, investing in things, investing in experiences. And that's those are some of my favorite questions and some of the best conversations I have with clients.
Fantastic. I love that. I mean, that's the thing. You boil it down to the one thing, which is the relationship, right? You have the relationship. You've sat across the table from them and found out exactly what makes them tick and what makes them happy and what brings them joy. And you're kind of an instrument in allowing them to do that safely, right? And so I think that's a beautiful thing. That's pretty much all the questions I had. I wanted to make sure that we didn't miss anything. Is there anything else you want to say in closing this podcast out?
Yeah, I would say the relationship, that is why I'm in this business. I mean, in my old life, I worked on Wall Street. I was, you know, it was a partnership that was majority owned by Bear Stearns. And I was looking, we had relationships with some of the other people that we worked with, but it was really all through a computer screen. The reason I got into this business is because I wanted to work with people directly in a capacity with something that deeply impacts their lives. I mean, I said it, I think, in the first podcast. I mean, this is an economic planet. The money matters. But when you get to know the people, you get to know what they're trying to do with the money. What I like math. I'm good at it. I like the wonky, geeky stuff about this business too. But that's not why I'm coming into the office. I'm coming in the office because I dig the people that I work with. They're great. Yeah. You know, I the people that we've built this relationship over years. I mean, I look back and I'm extremely blessed to have these people in my lives, and it's awesome. So that's why I do what I do.
Well, I know that the first three podcasts that you've put together really, hopefully, are giving the audience a real insight into who you are, what makes you tick, and how you work with your clients and why you do. I don't think that you could have explained it any better than that. So I'm excited to get into the other content, the educational stuff that you're going to be bringing forward, and the guests.
We got a good one. Good one next week. Yeah.
Okay.
We can segue it, or we can keep it a secret, Eric. It's your call.
No, you tell them. Come on. Tell them. You know, what can they look forward to?
I'm super excited about this. I've got a very dear friend of mine who is his family. He's from Bangladesh, and his family owns one of the largest brokerage firms in Bangladesh. Obviously, emerging economy. But what's interesting, so he's back and forth to Dhaka all the time. And again, he's a great friend. I talked to him quite a bit. But what's fascinating about them is not so much just Bangladesh, although investing in that part of the world, which we don't do directly, by the way, is a fascinating endeavor. It's different than it is here in the United States. But what we're going to talk about with him is Bangladesh, if you look at a world map, is situated between two of the emerging economic superpowers. You have China and you have India. And Bangladesh is basically smack dab in the middle of having to deal with both of them. So what we're going to talk about with him is geopolitically, what does the world look like? What does the investing world look like with those two bookends of the emerging markets? I mean, it's India and China, and then there's everybody else when it comes to emerging markets. And so we're going to dive into what the investing landscape looks like over there, but also as somebody that's on the ground in a part of the world that is increasingly squeezed by these two major players, what's it like doing business over there, and what should Americans know about what's happening in that part of the world? And I'm really excited to do this one.
Wow, that sounds exciting. I'm looking forward to it big time. Brent, again, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for the podcast that you're going to be bringing to us very soon.
Thanks, Eric. I appreciate the opportunity to do this.
You bet. And our last thank you goes to you, listening audience. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to the Smart Money Simplified podcast with Brent Mikosh. If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please click the subscribe now button below. This way, when Brent comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. This makes it even easier to share these podcasts with your friends and family. Again, thanks for listening today. For everyone at MP Advisors, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day every day. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Smart Money Simplified Podcast. Have any questions about topics covered during the show? Visit www.smartmoneysimplified.com or give us a call at 602-255-0555. Don't forget to click the follow button below to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the hosts and/or guests and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Raymond James Financial Services Incorporated. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional financial advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service providers with any questions you may have regarding your individual situation. Securities are offered through Raymond James Financial Services Incorporated, member FINRA, and SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Raymond James Financial Services Advisors Incorporated, MP Advisors, LLC, is not a broker/dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services.